Good morning, Rabbi Isai. So this morning we will begin Perek Hey in the Chayvus Levavos Shar Bitachon. Gewaltige Sachen. And here the Chayvus Levavos tells us that even though the Baal Bitachon, as everyone, has to be involved with something in order to earn a living, nevertheless, there are seven major ways in which a Baal Bitachon, when he is involved in Parnasa, totally different than a person who is involved in Parnasa without Bitachon. Same action, same business, two different people, totally, entirely different. Number one, the first difference is that the Baal Bitachon is always satisfied. He's always satisfied because he knows that whatever he gets is what Hashem was gozer. And he thanks Hashem whether it's good or bad. As Eov said, Adonai Nasan, Adonai Lakach, Yehi Shem Adonai Mevoirach. Eov, when he suffered all of his losses, Rachman Islan said, God gives, God takes. It's all the same. May the name of Hashem be blessed. And David HaMelech says in Tehillim, Kapitel Kuf Aleph 101, Chesed u'mishpat ashira, which means that the Gemara in Brachot of Samach, and Chesed ashira, I'll thank God when He gives something that looks like a kindness. The mishpat ashira, I thank God when He doles out something which seems to be a mishpat, a strict judgment against me. I take it, it's all the same. Because it's from the same God. God doesn't change. By God, it's all the same. Like the Baal Shem Tov said, Shivisi Hashem l'negdi tamid. He said, Shivisi, by me, everything is shove. Everything is the same. Because Hashem l'negdi tamid. Because Hashem is in front of me all the time. It comes from Hashem. I know everything Hashem does is really for the best. It is the best. It's not for the best. It is the best. And the Gemara says, the brach is chayv adon levarich ala ra. A person has to bless Hashem for what is perceived as evil, like he, or bad, or negative, just as much he blesses Hashem for the good. So the Baal Bitachon, the first major identification mark of a Baal Bitachon, he is always satisfied with what he gets. Really. But the person not b'tev Hashem, when things are going good, he brags that he got all these great things because he's so smart and he runs such a good business and he's such a good investor. And, you know, he's such a great editor, he's such a great writer, he's such a great politician. He knows how to work the crowds, he knows how to do things, he's such a great accountant, he's such a great jeweler, he's such a great craftsman, such a great artist, such a great singer, whatever he does. Because really he thinks it comes from himself. And therefore, when it's good, he says, I did good. I know my business. Like it says in Tilam Yud, Ki Hilal Rasha Al Taivas Navshay. The Rasha praises himself because he got what he wanted. But when things are bad, he curses God and is angry against God. As it says in the Pasuk in Yeshaya, V'hoya Ki Yirav, when a man starves, this Katsaf, then he gets frustrated. The Kilel B'malko V'Elehov, and he curses his king and his God. So, a non-Baal Bitachon, when things are going good, it's all because of me. Because I'm great. When it's not going good, then it's God. God is here. When it's good, I'm smart. Now, what do you mean? That's not true. I thank God when the market went up. When I bought Amazon.com, I thank God for putting it in my brain. But the real thing, he might have said it with your mouth, but when it went down, You really thought it was you, Taka. You thought, I got an insider tip. I was really smart. I knew this, the technology stocks. I knew where to go. I knew where the money is going. I know how to play the market. I know how to go through the internet. So the Chayvus Levavos is going into our subconscious and telling us that a Baal Bitachon knows it's all from Hashem. Simple. What does Bitachon mean? Bitachon means I know everything's from Hashem up and down. Not Bitachon means is that my personality gets in the way. When it's going good, I praise myself, or I praise my friend who's so good to give me the tip. When it's going bad, It must be God turning against me. So therefore, the guy's not happy. That's the first difference. Number two, Abater Belakim, because he knows it's all from God, he's very calm. Because he knows whatever Hashem does is always, always the best, both in this world and the next world. That's the key. The only way to really believe this, to buy into this, that everything Hashem does is for good, but it's not good. And I'm waiting 20 years. Okay, the rabbi said it doesn't look good today, but you wait, you'll have patience, you'll see how it's going to turn good. But rabbi, I'm waiting for 20 years, I don't see it. Wait another 10 years. Rabbi, it's 30 years now, I don't see the good. How could it be? Another 10 years. So the answer is, you're not going to get your answer till you leave this world after 120 years, and then you'll see in Olam Haba why it was good. So bitachon by definition requires, says the Chofetz Chaim, not just a belief in God. Bitachon requires a belief in another world. Not to believe in the next world, can't have faith in Hashem. Without the belief that this world is only a preparation for the next world, it's not shy of bitachon, it's not shy of faith in God, it's not shy of Judaism. And there's brands of Judaism that call themselves Jewish and don't believe in the world to come. It's a different religion. That's clear. It's a different religion. It's not Judaism. Anybody who claims that they're preaching Judaism, where they leave out one mitzvah in the Torah, it's also not Judaism. But, you know, you leave out one mitzvah in the Torah, you know, this Orthodox Jews might not be aware that there's a mitzvah of Reishis HaGeiz. Might be quite a few ignoramuses in the world, ignorami, who might not have gone to yeshiva long enough to know that one of the 613 mitzvahs is you got to give the first shearing of your sheep to the Kohen. You might not know it. There's 24 gifts to the Kohen. Some people might not know it. They might know there's the mitzvah of Bikurim. They might think Bikurim only comes from fruits. They don't realize that Bikurim can also come from wheat and from barley. They don't realize that. So they don't know that. Okay, if you don't believe it, if the rabbi tells you, deny it. You're denying the Torah, but okay, you still can. If you don't know it, you're still okay. But if you don't know it, the Rambam says, why did the Rambam make 13 principles of faith? Because if you don't know these, and you don't believe in these, you're mamash a kaifer bikr. These are the ikrim, these are the essential beliefs of our religion. And the 13th is, I believe in the resurrection of the dead, I believe in the world to come. And the Lord of the Rambam says, I believe in reward and punishment in the next world. There's reward and punishment on a limited basis in this world. But I have to believe in the world to come. Without believing in the world to come, it's just a whole different religion. So the Ebbe Bitachon, he says, is the Baal Bitachon is always calm, because he knows that everything is good. If I don't see the good here, I'll see it in the world to come. I don't even have to see it. The truth is, I'll never see the good here. Whatever I'm seeing is not real. It's this world is virtual reality, but it's not reality. Reality is Olam Haba. This world is not reality. It's virtual reality. It looks like reality. It's very, very. It seems like reality. It's virtual reality, but you know, it's just something on the screen on the computer. It's not reality. We don't even know what reality is. Only Olam Haba is reality. If you don't believe in Olam Haba, there is no reality. So therefore, the person who's Bateach Bashem, whether it's good, whether it's bad, he's always happy. If he's not Bateach Bashem, listen to what he says. He says Dovin Melech like this. Dovin Melech, who's the paragon of Bitachon, says in Tilim Sama Beis, Ach Belehim Doimi Nafshi. In God, my soul is silenced. I am never stirred up. I am never agitated. I don't start screaming at anything. Kimimenu Tikfasi, because all my hopes are in God for the future. So whatever happens to me now in this world, I am silent. I am calm. I am calm because my hope is for a future world where everything will be clear why Hashem did everything. However, the person is not Bateach Belakim. This man is never calm. Not only when it's bad, he's not calm. He's not happy when it's good. He's always bitzar. He's always worried. He's always ba'idel. He's always mourning. He's always betzav. He's always kvetching. When things are good, it's never good enough. It's never good enough. Because it's good, he wants more. And he kicks himself in the pants. Why did I only buy 1,000 shares of that stock? I should have bought 2,000. Why did I buy 5,000? I'm such an idiot. I'm so stupid. And why didn't I hold it a couple of days longer? So the guy just made $100,000 in the stock, and he's kicking himself in the pants Why didn't he buy more? Why didn't he keep it longer? He's never happy. Never happy. So when it's going good, he always has ambitions to have more and more of what he has. And when things are bad, he's certainly sick and disgusted. And he's not getting what he wants. And he's never happy. So therefore, King Solomon says, Shlomo HaMelech says, in Mishlei, Tezvav, Tezvav. Good to remember that. Tezvav, Tezvav. Two, two. Kol Yemei Ani Rayim. All the days of the poor man are bad. The Toiv Leiv Mishnah Tamid. The man of a good heart, his life is one big party. So if you what does that mean, says the Chavos Levavos? You want to be a party animal? You want a party? You can't be a party animal. You got to be a party angel. You got to be a Baal Bitachon. A Baal Bitachon, his whole life is happy. That's called Tov Leiv Mishnah Tamid, which happens to be the last words of the whole Shulchan Aruch in Hilchas Purim. And Kol Yemei Ani Rayim, all the days of the poor man are bad, means the man who is impoverished of his faith in God, his trust in God. If a person doesn't really trust in God, that God's doing everything, and everything is just preparation for the world to come, then his Kol Yemei, all the days, every day, is under his children's chuppah, finally marrying off his last kid, and Mamish, it's a gorgeous wedding, everything is fine, he's kicking himself in the pants, now he's still not happy. How come the Mechut make him pay for so much? How come the photographer made him pay so much for this photography over here? And I don't like the angle he's standing on over there. He's not taking the right shots. And his mind is all over the place. He's not happy. He's never happy. He might smile. He might even fool himself if he's happy. But inside he's frustrated. Because since he's in charge, he's never in charge enough. If I'm in charge, if I'm in control, and I want to see instant results in this world, it's just never good enough. The pictures are never pretty enough. The video is never good enough. It's just not good enough. My son could have done better shidduch. Why did he get this shidduch? It could have been better. Should have been better. You know, it's just not, I mean, the hotel is nice. Air conditioning is a little stuffy still. It's never 100%. But if you leave everything from the Rebbeinu Shlom, it really is from the Rebbeinu Shlom. It's really all from the Rebbeinu Shlom. I take what I get. I take what I get right now. And I know that not only what I now is okay. And someday I'll really understand the situation. And I'm just passive. And it's all from Hashem. That's called rich in wisdom. Tov leiv mishnah tam. The good heart is the heart that sees it's all from God and surrenders to Hashem. But kol yemei ani rayim, the man who's poor in his knowledge of reality, that man's days are lousy. He doesn't have a good day in his life. Doesn't have a good day in his life. Third difference is between the poteh b'shem and not. Now here's this is really where it's at. Zok the Chavos Levavos, that the man of faith, even though he's involved with various means to the end goal is to pay my bills. The end goal is I gotta pay my bills. The means is my business. The means is my profession. The profession is called the emtsoi, the means, the middle, the medium. Nevertheless, even though the man of faith is involved in various mediums to bring himself his parnasa, and that's fine, but he absolutely does not depend on them. Liboy laisaimech aleihem, his heart never depends on the means. And he doesn't yearn for advantage from the means. And he's not afraid that the means will cause him damage. Because he knows that ultimately it's from the Rebbeinu Shlom. But he knows that the Rebbeinu Shlom commanded that we are not worthy of direct miracles. We're not worthy of open miracles. So God said, there's a curse upon all the sons of Adam, that they have to do something. They gotta do something. Gotta do something. So Hashem said so. But Hashem says, that's the curse. Do something. Open the store up. That's your curse. You'd like to sit in Beis Medrash all day. You'd like to sit around the pool drinking pina coladas all day. That's how it used to be in Gan Eden. Blame your Zayd the Adam. He didn't have full trust in me. He thought he's smarter than I am. You're stuck with a curse. To the store, Lamaisa. I did borrow $100,000 to open the store. I just renovated because that's what stores require. I can't have a dumpy store. See, I'm putting in effort to make it nice and to make it attractive to customers. And I'm still supposed to believe, even though I made it attractive and I made it nice and I put in this effort and I'm doing things that would seem to attract customers, I'm supposed to believe the money's not from the customers or from the attractive store. It's still from God. That's a very hard thing. And if you do that, you're a great Baal Bitachon. So there's the emtsoi, there's the means, and there's the end. So he says, now listen carefully, he says, if your store, taka comes out, that you make a lot of money in a newly renovated store, and you pay your bills, so you say, thank God, Rabbeinu Shalom, that you put into my head to renovate the store, and thank God that you send the customers, because you have the most beautiful store. You just go into the mall down 59. It's like unbelievable. I just see the tragedy of business when I see the malls down 59. So there's a very beautiful mall over there, and very nice stores over there, but hey, you know what? Nobody's fault. They did a great job. They did very nice stores. And suddenly, opens up Palisades Plaza. The biggest and the best. And everyone's running the Palisades Plaza. So these perfectly fine, normal stores, very nicely built, very nicely kept up. Empty. I imagine the guy who owns this strip mall is hurting very badly. Because everyone's going to Palisades Plaza. So you have to thank Hashem, you have the nicest store, and you still have no customers, because there's a nicer store down the block, because Hashem gave someone else the idea to build something nicer. You never know. It's all from the Rabbanu Shalom. You just never know. So therefore, you got to build your store. You have to open the store up. No question about that. But you have to believe that the customers come from Hashem, and even the idea to open the store came from Hashem. And therefore, he doesn't, when the money comes in, you don't love your store. I said over yesterday, and many times, that the Kav Yashar brings down, when a person comes to shul, if you really appreciate what's going on in the shul, you should kiss the walls of the shul. Just like you kiss the walls of your sukkah, the Shalah says. You should kiss the shul, to know that Yeshua comes from the shul, which is where God is at. But if you go around kissing the walls of your store, you got a problem. You're definitely not a Baal B'Tachon. Don't kiss the store. If it goes good in the store, go to shul and kiss the walls of the shul. Kiss the Pareichas on Darin Kodesh. Kiss the Sefer Torah. Kiss the Chavis Levavis. And that's a good thing to kiss. Kiss the Chavis Levavis. Kiss the Mezuzah. But don't kiss the walls of the store. So the challenge of the Baal B'Tachon is that he has an Emtzoi. He has the medium of his store. He has the medium of his nice law offices. He has a medium of his nice doctor offices. But he only praises Hashem, and he doesn't love his store or his office more or less. And he doesn't depend on them more or less. His bitachon is only in Hashem. And if it goes good in the store, he says, thank you, Hashem. And he only depends more on Hashem. He doesn't say, oh, you see, it's good. It's a business. This is a smart move I made. When's the computer business? This is the thing to go into. If Hashem wants it, you can go into a Bacchus business. You can go into a tic-tac-toe business. You can go into Narishka. You can go into to marbles. If Hashem wants it, you can make money on little marbles. You can make money on stupid dolls, on cabbage patch dolls. So open their budget. Hashem put Mishagas, and people should make a cabbage patch. And hey, you know, there's no more cabbage patch dolls. It was for a while, and that's it. Now it's bean dolls or something. So why was it bean dolls now? Why not Fakir? Why wasn't it bean dolls 10 years ago and cabbage patch now? What's Nafkamina? Is there any difference between beanie dolls and cabbage patch dolls? Because the Rebbeinu Shel Olam, that this year puts in the people's head that beanies are crazy, people are bananas about beanie dolls. And then 10 years ago, they were meshug about cabbage patch dolls. And 20 years ago, they were meshug about Jerry Mahoney dolls. And everybody has a mishug, not different mishugas, who knows? Where's mishugas come from? It comes all from the Rebbeinu Shel Olam. Some guy shouldn't, I remember a long time ago, it was the one who was Pet Rocks. That would make a lot of money. Some guy made a lot of money on Pet Rocks. Now, do you have a bigger mishigas in the world than my pet rock? Cannot be a bigger mishigas than you have a rock. That this is my pet. And people paying money for a rock. Buying a rock. My pet rock. Now, you understand that. You tell me if that's not from the good Lord. That somebody had to make some money and they invented pet rocks. So it's out from the Rebbeinu Shel Olam. And therefore, he says, the truth is, that the proof that you know that, now this is a very tricky thing he has over here, I'm still trying to understand it. The proof is whether you abandon the medium when things go bad. So, in other words, if I believe, here he says that the proof of a real Baal B'Tachon is, that if I make a store, and I know that I like this kind of a store, and I'm good for dry goods stores. Now this year, dry goods for some reason wasn't so good. Now, if I'm about to be talking about Hashem, even though this year dry goods wasn't so good, I ended up with $30,000 in debt, so I should close the store. It's not going dry goods. Dry goods is no good. But if I really believe that everything's from the Rebbeinu Shel Olam, the store is only a medium, I have to say it's not the fault of the store, it's the fault of me. I wasn't zoicha this year to make enough money for my dryga store. So if I really believe in Hashem, I'm not going to close the store down. I'm going to stick to the store. So sticking to the means, despite the means apparent, I'll use the word failure, or let's call it temporary failure, to bring me in what I need, is a sign of faith in Hashem. Because if I really believe in the store, the minute there's a failure over there, I should immediately dump the store and run looking for something else. But if I stick to it, sticking to it doesn't show that I believe in the store. If I care, sticking to it, I'm sure I'm a stubborn guy. But that's the reason. That's the edel of art over here. We'll see in a second that he changes his tune a little bit. In other words, if I'm sticking to it because I really believe in the store, I have put so much money in the store, a bunch of saying it's a shame to leave the store because I put $100,000 in the store, and that's why I'm staying. So I'm still believing in the store. But if I say I'm sticking to the store because I believe in Munah Shleima, that really I like this kind of a store. I hold it. I think that Hashem wants me to make money through here because I'm comfortable with it, and I know this business, and this is what I'm made for. I am then making money. It's not the fault of the store. It is, well, I wouldn't call it the fault of Hashem, but it comes from Hashem. Or it's my fault. I wouldn't zayicha. Or whatever the reason Hashem knows it's better for me, that I shouldn't make money this year, for whatever good Lord's reason. I won't know it. I'll get to the world to come. In the world to come, we're going to go into the system. We're going to find out why. I'll never know, but it's very, very interesting, the world to come. All our questions will be answered in the world to come. In the world to come, you'll understand why this year Hashem decided you shouldn't make the parnasa. And you'll know why it was the best thing in this world. This is not the world of answers. And this is not the world of questions, though. Questions and answers are the next world. This is the world of surrender. Hashem, I'm just following the Chavos Levavos, as he said, get the store that you're comfortable with. I know the dry goods business. I like it. I feel comfortable with it. I know something about it. I got some investors in it. I'm going to stick to it because I believe it's all from Hashem anyway. But if you don't believe in God, then you really believe in the store itself. And if the store is good, so you kiss the store walls. And you say, oh boy, oh boy, oh boy, I'm so smart for going into the dry goods business. And it was a good thing I put $100,000 into my business. And I'm glad that Taka went in this way. But then, what's going to happen is that there's a time that there's a failure. And he says, what will happen is that when you fail in this business, you'll dump the business right away. When you fail yourself, this business is no good. I just read in the business trends that this business is dry goods. How can I go in competition with Walmart? It's not a good business. I'm giving up on this business. And he dumps the business right away. Now, why I say this is tricky is because it's not necessarily a person to stick to a bad business his whole life. And you have to want to cut your losses. He says is that the simon of a not Baal B'Tochen is that the minute the business is no good, he runs away. I have to interpret that he means only you're running away when there really it's not the pshat, this is dead. I mean, if you're having a kosher meat store in the middle of Harlem, might not be the best thing to hold on to your kosher meat store in the middle of Harlem, because your Zayda had the store there in 1920 when there were 100,000 Jews there. And now in 1999, I'm sticking to what the Chavos Levavos says, you don't leave the business. But there's no Jewish customers for 20 miles around. So I wouldn't advise that. That doesn't make sense. That Versteitzich doesn't make sense to keep up your Judaica bookstore. Your Eichlers in the middle of Harlem, it wouldn't be too bright to keep up Eichlers in the middle of Harlem selling Judaica for who? Because the neighborhood changed. It's pretty obvious you got to get out of there. But we're talking about that there's no apparent reason. What we need to say is there's no apparent reason why this is a very good dry goods store. It's a nice mall. There's customers. Yeah, okay, there's a Walmart a couple of blocks down, but people come here too. There's a big Palisades Plaza, but there's still people selling dry goods on Main Street in Muncie. Not everyone's running to Palisades Plaza. You can still it makes sense to be here. No, I'm not making money. It's no good. It's terrible. And you panic. We're talking about where there is still no reason to say that the business itself is intrinsically washed up. Business itself is a good business. I could identify some reasons maybe why they make good pranasa this year, but it's not the pshat that business is washed up. So the Baal B'Tochen says that if I didn't make money on this store this year, I'm not going to blame it on business trends or on the competition. I attribute it to the Rabbeinu Shlom that didn't want to send me Parnasa this year. And the Nadav Itachon immediately says, it's a lousy business, I'm running away. Because he really believes in the business itself, he believes in the business in and of itself. That's the Nakuda over here. Now, there's a very beautiful story. I'll just give you a story which is one of my favorite Bitachon stories. I've never said it over, I don't believe. It's one of the nicest Bitachon stories, how far it goes, that Bitachon is open there by Nishlom. Once upon a time, the Baal Shem Tov, in the Shemayim, they told him to go to a certain little village to learn a lesson and Bitachon Bashem. He gets to the village, and he takes up his lodgings with the local Arendar, which is something so common in those days. That's the local innkeeper who leased the right from the local nobleman to have the inn to sell spirits to the goyim, to sell them mashke, liquor, and to run an inn for wayfarers. It was a very common business. It was maybe the most common business for Jews in Eastern Europe a few centuries ago. So the Baal Shem Tov comes in with his Talmidim, and he sees that sometimes Yidden, when they were leasing inns from the Goyim, and they were selling mashke at the Goyim all day and all night, so some of their uncouth ways, their vulgarity, rubbed off on the innkeeper. This particular innkeeper was a man of dignity. You can see he was a Baal Madrega. He's a man of nobility and virtue. So they were very happy to be with him. Next morning, they were about to daven, Baal Shem Tov and his Chavraya, and the sheriff, the bailiff, who represented the local poet, local prince, comes in to the inn, strides into the inn. He has a big hefty cane, and he bangs on the table 3 times, and silently but arrogantly walks out of the inn. So they look at they don't know what's going on. The Baal Shem Tov and his chevra don't know what's happening, but they look at the innkeeper. Evidently this means something to the innkeeper. It was his inn, but he's cheerful, he's not ruffled in the least, and everything is fine. Finished davening, right after davening, again the sheriff strides in, takes his big staff and smacks on the table 3 times, and strides out, exact same thing. Baal Shem Tov goes over to the innkeeper and asks him what's going on. He says, this is a warning that today is the end of the year, and it's time for me to pay the rent. The rent is annual rent that they pay in advance. And on the last day of the year, when the lease is up, the poet sends the sheriff, and he bangs 3 times on the table. It comes 3 times on his day. And these are warnings. And if after the 3rd visit, the poet doesn't get his money, he comes along with his soldiers, and he'll throw me and my children and my wife into his dungeon, in his castle, in his mansion. And this unfortunately really happened very often. There was a lot of pinyan shvuim going on. There's so many Hasidic stories about this. It was quite common. So the Baal Shem Tov says to the innkeeper, it's quite clear from your equanimity and your absolute tranquility that you must have the money, because I see you're not fazed at all. You're davening so nicely, barichas, and now you're calm. So I guess you're on your way now to the innkeeper's house. So if you want, don't bother giving us breakfast right now. Go to the Poritz's house, pay up your lease, and then you'll come back to us. We'll bring with you the table over here. So Darandar, this Gehoi ben Yid, says to Baal Shem, truth is that at this particular moment, I don't even have one single penny. I don't have one penny to pay the substantial lease. But the Rabbi Shlom will certainly bring the money my way. This is my parnas, I have to have the lease. So the Rabbi Shlom will help, because I have 3 hours grace till the last time that the sheriff comes and bangs on the table. So we have 3 hours, let's have a nice breakfast, a fabreng, a Baal Shem Tov, what's the rush? So, okay, they took the time over the meal, And one would never be able to know from looking at the Arendar's face that his life and the life of his whole family was in great, great danger. Finished eating, the bench, and 3 hours are up, and the sheriff comes in again, and he bangs for the third and final time on the table. And the innkeeper is calm, collected, he's not in a rush. And he gets up, and he goes into his room, and he puts on the Shabbos clothing, go to the parrot, you have to dress nicely, puts on the Shabbos clothing, puts on his gartel, it's not Avodas Hashem, you have to pay the rent, it's not Avodas Hashem. Says, Rabbi Yisai, the time has come now that I should go and pay my yearly rent. Rabbi Hashem says, but do you have enough money? Do you have any money? I told you, another penny. But the Rabbi Hashem will take care of everything. So, he leaves, the Baal Shem Tov and his Talmidim. They go up onto a balcony on the second story of the inn, from which they could see the road that leads up from the inn to the squire's, to the parrot's home, to see Vosvet Zion. What's going to be over here? The seed is going. He doesn't pay it up. He's in the dungeon with his family. Vosvet Zion. So, as the Arendar is walking up the hill to the castle, suddenly they see a wagon rumbling by on the road, going special to meet the Arendar. And the driver of the wagon is getting into a conversation with the Arendar. And they see after a little while, talking, haggling, the wagon driver just whips his horses and goes in one direction. And the Arendar goes another direction. And he's walking up the hill again. After a few minutes, however, the wagon driver stops, turns around, and starts galloping with his wagon, with his horses up the hill. He reaches the innkeeper, the Arendar. They talk again. They see that he takes a pouch of money out and he gives the Arendar the money. And the innkeeper resumes his walking up the hill. And he goes into the castle. Meanwhile, the wagon driver is driving down the hill towards the inn. He comes into the inn, and the Baal Shem Tov and the Talmidim gather around him and say to the driver, please tell us, we noticed what was going on there in the hill, we saw it from the balcony. What was going on? Can you tell us what's happening? How come you went away the first time and you came back the second time? What's going on? So the wagon driver said, I have a custom that I come periodically and I buy this jid, the innkeeper. He makes vodka, and he sells me vodka, but usually he doesn't have the money to invest in the vodka, to buy all the potatoes and buy all the barrels and do all the work, so I get a better price, I pay him in advance. And in the coming year, he makes me all the vodka that I need. So I just came down to make a deal with him, and he's walking up the hill to the squire, and I'm passing by, coming to meet him, and I give him, offer him a price for his vodka, but he refused the price. He says it's not enough. It's not enough. And he keeps on walking. So I said, no, I don't want to pay that much. And I whip my horses, and I'm going in another direction. And I said to myself, you know what? He's not an honest person. It's good vodka. His price is a little high, but you know what? I'll pay the price. So I went back, and I made a deal with him at his price, and I gave him the money, and he's going out to pay his rent. So Baal Shem Tov said to his Talmidim, look at what it means, Tavi Tocham Hashem. This Yid needed the money. He was desperate. You think of a guy desperate, maybe he would charge a little bit less. He had so much to be talking about Hashem. They get whatever is coming to him. He knew that the fair price was what was this. Even this desperate moment, they need the money so badly. He said, I know what my vodka is worth. The bunch of not going to shortchange me. I'll get my price for the vodka, and I'll get my money for the rent, and I'm not going to be fazed and panic-stricken by the dangerous situation. It's a gewaltige maisa. What it means to be talking about Hashem. The Baal Bitachon knows it's all from the Rebbeinu, and he doesn't compromise his standards, compromise his self-dignity, compromise his Bitachon at any time. He truly knows it's all in the hands of Hashem. Again, doesn't mean a person should never give a bargain. He know, this is everybody according to their level and how they consider it. This he had felt that he knew the value of his vodka, and he wasn't going to give down a penny because he knows he's going to get what's desired even in this time. Even this time. Because he knows that the money doesn't come from the vodka, and the money doesn't come from the wagon driver. It comes from the Rabbeinu Shalaylam, and that's what he has to be talking about. He knows, he has full emunah, Hashem will send what he needs. He needs the money to pay the rent. Hashem will send it to him. He's not b'teach in his negotiation skill. He's not b'teach in his vodka. He's not b'teach in the wagon driver. He is b'teach Hashem. So this is what it means, says the Chovetz Chovos, that a person who's b'al bitachon works, he has a medium, but he doesn't put his full faith in it. Doesn't put his faith in it at all. And the Mela, I'll conclude with the last thing that the sign of the Baal B'Tochen. Oh, number four. Says, since the Baal B'Tochen knows everything's from the Rebbeinu Shel Olam, therefore, he lives mamish in the present right now, and he knows every single day a person in the Rebbeinu Shel Olam gives a new parnasa, and he knows the parnasa not what he has in the bank, and he knows the parnasa not what's coming in the future. His parnasa is today. Even though Sunday you don't make money, you don't go to work on Sunday, he knows that Sunday is Sunday, Monday is Monday, Tuesday is Tuesday. So therefore, the Baal B'Tochen, if he has some extra money, more than he needs right now to pay his bills, so he gladly, with pleasure and generosity, he uses it for things that will make God happy. He says, what do I have extra money for? I don't need it for me. I have enough money for today. So what do I need this extra money for? Oh, for tomorrow. But I don't live for tomorrow. I need it for what? For tomorrow. But today is only Sunday. I'm not supposed to think about Monday yet. So what's the extra money for? Hashem gave you the money to make him happy. Hashem gave you the money to make his creatures happy. So he gives it to tzedakah, gives it to yeshiva, gives it to the shul. Like David HaMelech says in Divrei Yomim, Ki mimcho akol, everything comes from you, Hashem. U'miyadcho nosanu lach, and from your hand we gave back to you. The Baal B'Tochen doesn't feel that. You know it's so hard to give tzedakah? Because it's mine. I earned it. It's moi. It's me. If it belongs to me, I don't even want to give it to God, because after all, I earned it. I mean, thank you, God, for helping. Thank you for Siyata D'Shmaya. I appreciate Siyata D'Shmaya, but who earned it? Me. If I earned it, why should I burn it? I shouldn't. I thank you, God. I'll give 10%. I'll give 20%, but it's my money. But the Baal B'Tochen says, it's not my money, because it wasn't my store that earned the money. It wasn't my brains that earned the money. It's a total gift from Hashem. Ki mimcha hakol. It's all from Hashem. Not 10%, not 20%. All. I invested my money, it's your money. I invested my energy, it's your energy. It's all from you, Hashem. And therefore, what I give you is just giving back yours. So why'd you give me more today? What do you mean more today? You only gave me more to test me whether I believe in this stuff. Isn't it amazing? I'm telling you this over right now. Do you think I'm going to give you all this extra money? Now, what do you think I'm going to do with all this wad I have in my pocket right now? What am I going to do with this wad of money I have in my pocket over here? What am I going to do with the rest of it? All this money that's just tumbling out of my pocket. By rights, I have no particular need for this money today. My car is filled up. I just filled it in the Palisades. I don't have to fill up my gas. My wife is shopping before Shabbos. I always get leftovers on Sunday anyway. I always have the shul barbecue at 5 o'clock. I'm getting so hungry. So what is this money for? Hashem is asking me to say, oh yeah, Hashem, this deck's yours. Okay, take it. Gesundheit. I don't need it. It's yours. I don't need it. It's like, you know, it's mamash like the guy who comes to make the kiddush here in shul. Mr. Mealmart. I always see he's taking back soda. After the kid, I say, hey, didn't the Baal simply pay for the soda? What are you taking the soda back for? He says, no. What I do is, I'm a very generous guy. I bring in, I don't know how much soda you can use. I bring in more soda than you'll ever possibly use. It's my soda. So I bring in lots of it. And you use as much as you want. The rest comes back to me. I mean, how much are you going to drink already? So I bring a dafka extra so you should feel you have as much as you want. And then when Shabbos is over, I see what's left over. I take it back. Those are the chavos of others. They're buying something like the meal mart. He gives as much, every day he gives as much money as he needs. He says this, I don't want you to feel scrimped. I don't want you to feel pinched. I want you to feel breitlich. So here's lots of money. Here's how much you need. Here's $1,000 for today. It's my money. You can take what you want. You're unexpected. You take what you want. But the proof that you know it's from me is that whatever's left over today, put in the pushka. I give it to your favorite Orthodox rabbi. You know, so I really should have an appeal right now to test if my... This is the finals. The finals will be the little quiz. The trick quiz over here will be to have a little appeal, you know, and see how much we believe in this stuff. Isn't that amazing? We all believe it's true. Not one person in this room, me included, doesn't believe what I'm saying right now. Everyone believes it. You have a muna. I'm not lying. You can read it yourself in the covers of office. It's right here. Black and white. This book has been around for 700 years or more. More than 700 years. Well-known book. Read by literally millions of Jews. It's here. No one yet has cut this out of the book. It's right here for you to see. It's in English too if you want. I have three different English translations at home if you want. See in English, Hebrew, French, Spanish, Swahili, whatever you like. You got it. That's what he says. Anything extra you have every day belongs to God. God just gives you plenty and so take what you want. Don't take whatever you like. But if there's leftovers, it's mine. Wow. So why am I not putting this in the pushka? How can I expect you to do it if I'm not going to do it? Because that's the difference between emunah and bitachon, between belief and faith. Faith, belief is in my brain. I know in my brain it's true, but to put it into my heart, to act on it, that's bitachon. Bitachon is I know it so clearly that it's beyond my brain. It has saturated my entire body, and there's nothing against it. But the problem is that in my brain, it's true. But my heart, there's this little selfish guy in the heart called me, alias Yetzirah, alias me. And it's a struggle between me and God. And although I love God very much, he's very nice, gave me all his money, and I believe it's his money. But Lamaise, it's in my hands, and I love it, and I want it. So I'm not giving it away so fast. I'm just not going to do it. I don't know why. I can't. I really should. I really should. No, you're going to come to the Yachid Kala next week, next Monday morning. You're going to come to the Shir and Hilchos Ma'aseh Ksavim, and you're going to open the Shulchan Aruch. Shulchan Aruch says that the Shir Tzedakah really is everything you can afford. It's going based on what I can give and what the Ani needs. That's the right. That's the outer limits. If a person is living on a salary and he's living, you know, he feels he's living in a salaried way, in a very, what's the word, mathematically correct, a very, he's just living on a salary and he has enough to live on, even if it's not, he pays his bills, then the right way is you should give 1/5. Middle of the road is 1/10. Anything less than 1/10, you're a bad eye, iron raw. But the right way is, again, if anybody who sees he has windfalls and is not living on a salary and it's going up and down all year and he gets bonuses and he has wins and his profits and up and down, you should give as much as you can. So it's really not wrong. But I'm not going to go. We'll say that next week. Savai is to say, my friend, that Chomesh is for people living, if you live such a limited life, you live such a organized, perfect, you're living just mamish exactly on a budget. Okay, that's the word I'm looking for, budget. If you're living a budget, if you live a budgeted life and your mamish comes in and out on a budget, then you shouldn't give more than the 50 if you think that's going to ruin your... If they're giving more than the 50, they mess up your budget, don't do it. If you're living on a budget. But everybody who lives on a budget? Who lives on a budget over here? Live on budget. If you want it, your wife wouldn't let you, so don't tell me live on budget. Anybody with a wife can live on a budget. How do you like that statement? We should cut that out. We should erase this part of the tape. Anyway, we're all not living on budgets. Better yet, no, I have no time for wives. Anybody with children can have a budget. Forget, it's not the... With children, live on a budget with children, impossible. Impossible. Zok the Chavos above is, the Raya, Vitachon is, anything extra than your daily needs, you give it with generosity, with a good eye, you give it away to tzedakah. Things that'll make God happy. Whatever it is, whatever you see is necessary. Got a letter in the mail yesterday for the mikveh, give some more money to the Arab new mikveh. Give some new money to this, to that. Do something. You'll find it, good things. But if you don't have to be talking about Hashem, he's up there. The guy who doesn't have to be talking never has enough. He's always living on a budget. His life is always, he never has enough. How can you? What do you mean? My kid's going to camp. I'm going to have to pay the bill next week. But it's not due until next week, your bill. But I live in a budget. Rabbi, I live in an exact budget. I can't do these kind of things. It's wild. Okay. That's exactly the point. Living on a budget. Now again, I'm not saying, a budget is a pshat that I believe is my business. My accountant told me that my business makes $100,000 a year. That's it. I shouldn't spend a penny more. So I live a life based on my accountant and based on my business and based on my budget. And that's where it's coming from my business. Then you can't give away your money. You never have enough. Never have enough. But, so you'd rather take care of your own needs than the needs of the Rabbi Nishlova. But what's going to happen in the end is that the extra money will be taken away from you anyway. So the truth is that, like Mr. Milmart, Mama, she says, drink all the soda you want. But if you don't drink it, I'm taking it back. So Hashem says, use all the money you want today, for yourself and for me. But if you don't give it to me voluntarily, I come pick it up at about 10:30. I told the guy to come between, I told him, don't come till the cheer's over at 10:30. 10:30, he's gonna knock three times on the, saying, I'm here, I'm the sheriff. So, you're not gonna have the money. So therefore it's up there, Pasuk and Mishlei, Yesh Mefazer V'Noisef Oy. Zikavaltik Pasuk, Mishlei Yud Aleph, look it up. Mishlei 11, Pasuk 24. Yesh Mefazer V'Noisef Oy. There's a person who scatters his money around, he throws the money around, and he gets more. Why? He gets more out of his money. The guy who throws his money around, and instead of getting less, he gets more. Because he's doing the right thing for the Rabbi Shalom. And Hashem says, oh, so if Mr. Milmar will come and say, come to Shabbos, was it Milmar? So Mr. Milmar is going to come at 10:30 and pick up the soda. He'll say, empty, there's nothing left. Say, oh, these guys in Beis Sovereign really drink, they're big drinkers. I better bring some more soda next week. Because these guys really don't have a drink, and I have a commitment. My commitment is my customers, they get as much soda as necessary. So this week he bought 10 cases. This is based on wild people. They used up all the soda bottles. Next week I bring 12 cases. Next week comes by, 12 cases used up, 15 cases. By the time Michal Brian and Bamizah comes around, we're going to have 37 cases for a Shabbos, because these people are just drinking like fish. But if he comes and says, they see based on people just drank 2 cases, I bought you 10 cases. So next week you'll bring 2 cases. People at Beis Avraham will say, hey, you see, it's a good thing we didn't drink too much soda, because the guy doesn't bring so much soda. Before the Kiddush, everyone make sure just a half a cup of soda. We're rationing. New rules in the shul, new rules. Half a cup of soda for everybody. Half a cup. If the kids are 3 sips. So we're going to, cut it down. So, the chaysech miyosher achle mafsar, and the person who saves all the time, miyosher, only right. I was taught by my parents to be thrifty, and Ben Franklin taught us that a penny saved is a penny earned, and therefore I have to save my money. So that some people save their money and they lose their money, and some people scatter their money and they earn money. So we say a penny given away to tzedakah, a penny given to the Ratz and Hashem, a penny given away to serve the Rabbi Shalom is a penny earned. A penny spent is a penny earned on the Rabbi Shalom. Or yourself, for your children, for your wife, there's another story, not for now, whatever is necessary. If you feel it's the Ratz and Hashem, you have to send your kid to camp, I can't afford it so well, don't worry about it. It also goes into tuition. I saw Talmud Torah, he's learning the summer, I'm sending my kid to camp, so he should be Erle Chayid, and he shouldn't wander the streets over here, that's how it is in America. Hashem says, fine, we'll send you more money, no problem. And you want to buy a wife a new sheitel, that she should do the mitzvah proper? Fine, buy a new sheitel. Buy a new wardrobe. More tzniyistic a wardrobe. No problem. So people save their money, they lose their money. You save your money because of selfishness. If you save your money out of selfishness, you're cutting down your parnasa. But if you spend your money out of generosity for the Rabbanu Shlom with Ayin Toiva, so this person will have a lot.